Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we'll read a story from the book of Matthew today, Matthew chapter 25. We'll spend most of our time there this morning, Matthew chapter 25. As you're turning there, I'd like to just say welcome to so many people. We have quite a few people here this morning, several of our members, but we also have several visitors with us. We're so thankful that you could be here. Thankful that you can worship with us. We pray that while we're all here, we just find a place where God's people are trying to do things God's way. That's what we claim to do, and that's who we claim to be. And so if you have any questions about what we do here, we invite you to ask us, and we'll try to give you a Bible answer for that. It's good to be back with you. Jared Pascal and I were in Florence last weekend. We were speaking at the young people's lectureship there. For some reason, they trusted Jared to go speak to them. I don't know why. No, I'm kidding. But it was a good weekend. It was an uplifting weekend for the two of us. And we got to spend some time with the College View congregation there. I just want to say a real quick thing at the very beginning before we get into the sermon. This is separate and different than what we're going to talk about today. But on a personal note, today's a special day for me. Some of you know that already, but it's because 3 years ago today, I started here. And it's hard to believe that it's already been 3 years. But the reason I bring that up is because some things we're going to talk about today, it's amazing to me to look back over the last 3 years and to see where this congregation was and where it is now. 3 years ago, many of your faces weren't there. 3 years ago, it was just a family of three for me, Brooke, and Landon. We added Eli. And 3 years ago, this church family was not what it is today. Families grow. And we're just so thankful, Brooke and I and our family, to be part of this church family because we've seen the potential, we've seen the growth, and we've seen just the good people that are at this congregation. And we really believe that this congregation is a good congregation of God's people. And we're just so thankful to be here. We're thankful that you all put up with us. And we're just looking forward to so many more years. And I looked at 3 years ago, and I was the only Harrington family here. And now all the Harringtons are here. And so a lot has changed in 3 years on many different levels. And we're just so thankful for everything you all have done for us the last 3 years and look forward to many more to come, Lord willing. You know, there's a question we're going to look at this morning that really almost everyone in this room has asked at some point in their lives. Maybe you've never asked it out loud, but you've thought about it in your mind. But it's also a question that almost everybody, for all the centuries, through all the centuries of the world, have also asked themselves. And it's a question that has really, it's started wars. It's a question that has gotten people killed, and however, it's also a question that has brought a lot of peace and tranquility to many people's lives. It's a question that will fuel our decisions, it will fuel our motives, and it will fuel our actions. And the question is, how do we get to heaven? Eternal life is something that a lot of people will die for. Wars have started over whether or not the right way to eternal life is through this God or that God. A lot of people find peace and tranquility knowing that there is an eternal life. But here's the problem with eternal life and what heaven is going to offer us. A lot of people want it, but what everyone is doing is trying to look for the easy way to get there. They're trying to look for the easy answer on how to gain eternal life. Just tell me what I need to do so I can get it. That was the attitude of the rich young ruler. Tell me what I need to do. I want to follow you, Jesus. When he said, give up everything, all your possessions, give them to those who are in need and follow me. Well, he wasn't really ready to do that. As we'll see, getting to heaven is not as easy as getting a simple answer to a question. If that were so, the Bible would be unnecessary. Instead, what we're going to see is getting to heaven takes work. It takes effort and it takes dedication to living a life that's after God's own will. And I'm assuming that if you're sitting here, it's because we all want to be in heaven together. That's what we teach. It's what we preach. It's what we sing about. We sing a song when we all get to heaven. That's what we want. That's what we're aiming for. And I'm assuming that if we're all here this morning, we've all made heaven our goal. We've all made heaven our future. But how many of us can say, just as Paul says in the book of Philippians, to live is Christ and to die is gain? That is, I want to be in heaven, but while I'm here, I'm going to live for Christ. In fact, it's also sometimes the opposite is true, where to live is, or to die is gain. We want heaven, but to live is, well, it's really for myself. This morning, we're going to look at how to live for Christ. And really, we're going to go even deeper, and not just how to live for Christ, but how to be the body of Christ. How do you find your place in Christ's body? Based on what the Bible tells us, we cannot enter into heaven unless we are part of the body of Christ. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who wants to come to the Father has to come through me. That is, He is the only way to spend eternal life with them in heaven. So how do we become a body of Christ? Well, we understand that through the waters of baptism. We know that when we're baptized, we are baptized into Christ. But what does it mean to be part of the body? I want to illustrate a story in Matthew chapter 25 before we get into some other things this morning that will help illustrate maybe some things that all of us need to be aware of as part of the body of Christ. In Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14, Jesus says there, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who received 2 talents gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground, and he hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 talents more, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back with my own interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It's an interesting parable here that Jesus tells, because it starts out really answering the same question we looked at the very beginning. How do we get to heaven? Well, Jesus is going to illustrate something for us. He says in verse 14, "The kingdom of heaven is like." Jesus is answering our question. He's saying, you want to know what it takes? You want to know what it looks like to be a servant of God? You want to know what the kingdom of heaven will be like? Well, let me tell you. Here's a story. And he says, there was a lord who gave his servant some of his money because he was about to go on a journey. He said, to one servant he gave 5 talents. To another servant he gave 2 talents. And to his last servant he gave 1 talent. And then he left on his journey. And he said, to each one he gave to his own ability. Well, while the master was away, the one who had 5 talents, he went and traded, and he went and worked some business deals, and he gained 5 more talents. He doubled his master's money. And the one that was given 2 talents, he did the same thing. He went and he worked some deals, and he doubled his master's money. But the one who was given 1 talent, well, he was afraid. He was afraid of what his master might do if he lost the talent. So what he did was he went and found a spot, he dug it, he kept it in a safe place, and at the very least, when the master came back, he would have his 1 talent back. Well, we just read the story. We know how it goes. When the master came back, he was happy and satisfied with what the servant did with his, the two servants did with their talents. They doubled them and they made him more money. But the one who was only given one, he was unhappy because he says, you at least should have put it in the bank and let it get some interest. It wasn't smart. You weren't wise with what I had given you. Instead, you just hit it in the ground and you didn't even use it. Now, I understand that this parable of Jesus is in the context of money. That's what a talent is. It's in the context of money. But I think there are some direct parallels for you and I in developing and using the talents that God has given each one of us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we understand that as we read that, we understand that you and I are many members of the same body of Christ. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, just as one body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. That is, I look back at that board back there, and we have 210 members here this morning. And I look at that number and say there are 210 individual people that are here this morning in this congregation. That's not counting the congregation down the road this way, and this way, or the congregations that are in other states or in other countries. And you look at all those numbers of all those people, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of different people. But what Paul says is, though many parts, all its many parts form one body. That although we are 210 individuals here in this building together, while we are together here, and really, not just while we're together, but as long as we remain in Christ, we form one body. I want you to think about something for just a moment. That when you look at this parable of the Lord that gave certain talents to His servants. Here we are as the Lord's body, the Lord's servants. That's our theme for this year, to serve one another. We understand that we are the Lord's servants. We're here to serve and not to be served. And as the Lord's body, although one body, many members, to think that the Lord has given each one of us certain talents and certain abilities. He has given every single one of us something that He has entrusted to us and expects us to use in the service of His kingdom. Now, you may not think you're a talented person. You may not think the Lord has given you anything, but that's the exact opposite. The master in the parable had to give each one of his servants something for them to get started with. He gave one 5 and one 2 and one 1. And what he says there in verse 15, after he had given them out, he says he gave to each according to his own ability. You and I all have different abilities. We all have different strengths. We all have different weaknesses. But the master still gave to each one something. There might be some stronger members here in certain areas, but there also might be some weaker members. Well, that just because you're a weaker member, or maybe because you're feeling weak spiritually, doesn't mean that the Lord has not given you something special. He gave even that master or that servant just one talent. He didn't get as much as the others, the 2 or the 5. He says, but I'm going to give you one. Each person was giving something different. Some more and some less, but each person was given a talent. Now I want us to think about that in terms of us. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, he tells the church at Ephesus there, he says he gave to himself, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers. In other words, he's trying to just tell the church there are different jobs, there are different abilities that Christ himself gave to us. If you turn with me to the book of Romans in chapter 12, in Romans chapter 12, he'll say something very similar starting in verse 4. He says in Romans 12, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Paul's saying the same thing to the Roman church here. He's saying we are one body, and although we are one body, we have many members. But he says something, all the members do not have the same function. That is, the Lord has put different things in each one of the members, different functions of the body. And so he says, although we're being many, are one body in Christ individually, if we have gifts that are differing according to the grace that have been given to us, that is, if we have things that God has given to us and we differ in those things, he says, then let's use them. Now, in the context here, he's talking, and some things we don't have today, I understand that, but he says, if your gift is prophecy, then prophesy. If your gift is ministry, if it's serving and servanthood, then use it in ministering. If you're a teacher, then teach. I mean, he goes down the list here. He says, if you have a gift and you're good at something, and God's blessed you with a talent or something that you're good at, he says, then use it. Sometimes we just need to understand the Lord's given us something, each one of us, an ability and a talent. You know, sadly, many people think the only talents that we find in church today are preachers and teachers and elders and deacons. Those are going to be your top four answers. If you have gifts in the church, you're either a teacher, a preacher, an elder, or a deacon. And if that's our idea of what talent is or the abilities that God has given us, then we are completely wrong. Yes, some of us may have talent of public speaking. And so maybe preaching or teaching is your talent. Some of you, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, he who leads, some people are just natural leaders. And so he says, lead with diligence. But there are so many other things that God has blessed us with and given us in this life that can bring great honor and great glory to the body of Christ. I want you to take the time today, not right now, but take the time today and look at the front of your bulletin and look in the snapshot that we handed out at the beginning of this year. Because there are lists of things, just different things we could do to help find our talents and find a way that we can help serve the body of Christ. But I want us to think about something. Again, I look at that number of people that are here today, and then you look out at all these people, and you can't help but to think every single part of the body is useful. Every single part of the body of Christ is useful for something. Because that's how we made it. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as he's talking about the body of Christ, he'll say, starting in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, am I not part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Paul's telling the Corinthian church there, yes, there's different functions, yes, there's different people, but God has put you here just as he pleases, which means he has done something for you and given you something that makes you special as part of the body. I want you to think about this. When was the last time you picked up a pencil with your foot and started to write? Some of you have probably tried that before. I have. How well does that work out? Probably not very well, unless you really practice at it, I guess. See, that's not what our feet were made for. If I want to write something, I pick up with my hands. How many of you have ever picked up a jar with your hands and tried to open that jar, and you know, you twist that jar? How many of you tried to open it with your elbow? Well, it's not going to work. But that doesn't mean your elbow is not important. In fact, if we didn't have elbows, our arms would be straight, and there's a lot we can't do with straight arms. So you better be thankful for your elbows. I mean, you get the point. When was the last time you woke up in the morning saying, man, I'm so thankful for my elbows? You've probably never done that. But without them, you'd be in big trouble. Because we're used to a way of life with them. I remember one time I burnt my thumb really bad. It was my left thumb, and I'm left-handed. And you don't wake up in the morning again saying, man, I'm so thankful for my thumbs. But man, you try not using your thumb for a couple days because it's burnt so bad you can't touch anything, or it's wrapped so it has to stay stiff. And you start looking like, I don't know what you look like, trying to pick up a coffee mug, trying to pick up a pencil, or whatever it is you try to do with your dominant hand, all because your thumb is out of use. Just a little finger. And it's because when you look at our body as a whole, you understand that without a certain part, we can't function properly. We can't be a complete body if one part is not functioning the way that it's supposed to function. My feet help me walk. My hands help me grab things and touch things. My eyes help me see. My tongue helps me taste. My brain makes me think. My lungs help me breathe. My bones make me stand up straight. My muscles help me move. My veins help me live. My DNA makes me who I am. And what we see is every single part of us, whether small or seen or not seen, makes us complete and makes us who we are as people. And every single part of me, if changed, will change the entire makeup of my body. And yet what Paul tells the church in Corinth here is, although we are many members, we are members of the same body. The foot cannot say, well, I can't do what a hand does. I guess I'm not part of the body. It says the eye cannot say, well, if I can't do what the feet do, I guess I'm not part of the body. He says, no, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Which tells me something about this body. God has put you here. God has put you here for a purpose. God has given you something to make you a special member of this body, of His body. The question is, are you going to be useful? For the body of Jesus Christ to be successful, Jesus needs people to find what they've been given by God and use it to the best of their ability. Every person here is important to the building of the gospel. Yes, some teach and some preach. Some of you are good singers. But it goes much farther than what we just do here on a Sunday. Some of you are good planners. We can use that. Some of you are good decorators. We can use that. Some of you are good cooks. Some of you are good handymen. Some of you are good cleaners. Whatever it is, the body can use that. What's sad to me is what happens when the body, a part of the body, is not doing its part. To use another illustration, in John 15, he's talking about the vine, but look at what he says in verse 2. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. In other words, he's saying, if you're part of his vine, if you're part of his body, and you're not bearing fruit, he says, you're just going to be taken away. And that's what he did with that servant number 3 in that story in Matthew 25. He says, you didn't do anything with the talent that I had given you. He says, I entrusted you with this one talent, and all you did was just bury it and sit on it, and you did nothing with it. He says, give me that talent back. He gave it to another servant, and he threw him out into the darkness. And he says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. We all have talents. We've all been given responsibilities. Now it's up to you and I, according to our ability, to take those talents and to use them in the kingdom of God. That's what he says here. Every branch that bears fruit, he'll prune so that he may bear more fruit. I want us just to think about a couple things, and then the lesson will be through this morning. I want you to think about what you can do to bring honor to God. Our talents bring honor to God. We're not using our talents and our abilities to be seen by men or to bring self-honor. In fact, that's what it says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. Or Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Many times we focus on the idea of just letting your light shine so it can glorify our Father in heaven, and we forget what it says in the middle. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that they may see your talents and abilities, they may see what you're doing to work in the kingdom of God. And he says, it's those works and those abilities and those talents that are going to glorify, that are going to help them glorify our Father in heaven. But it's time for us to let our light shine. We've referenced Ephesians chapter 4 just a few moments ago, where we listed some of those things that Paul says. Here's some of the things that Christ himself has put into the church. And I'll reread that, but I'm going to read one more verse just to help illustrate this point. He says, he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. But here he gives the reason. He gave all those things. In verse 12 it says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He says all these things were given by God. Different people, different talents, so that we can equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Which tells me, one, we need to learn to honor God. But we have to build each other up. We have to learn to teach one another. We have to learn to edify the body of Christ so that other people, the rest of the body, can go out and be equipped for the work of ministry, as it says here in Ephesians 4, verse 12. Are you using your talents to glorify God? Are you using your talents to the best of your ability? You know, it doesn't take long to read through the Scriptures and understand that God expects our best. God expects us to give 100%. He expects that in worship. We always say, you know, we have to give God our best. He needs our best singing. I think God expects my best sermon every Sunday. God expects our best singing. He expects our best prayers. Every day He expects us to live to the best of our ability. But here's what we need to understand. Everyone's best is so different. Remember what it said in Matthew chapter 5 as He gave those talents? He said He gave each according to His ability. I don't mean to sound arrogant in this, but we've all been given different talents. And there are probably some people in this room that can never get up and do what I do. And I know that because you've told me that. But there are also several things that you do that I know I could never dream about doing. Because we've all been given different talents. But I'll say this. It makes me so happy to watch someone get behind this podium and give their first talk. It might not be as good as what you could do. It might not be the best sermon you've ever heard. But there's someone that's trying to use a talent to the best of their ability. It makes me so happy when we have those little kids that will want to lead song leading. And I'll never forget, there was this little boy, and he tried to lead song leading in a congregation I used to worship, and he would never pitch the song, and his voice was still very, 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 very high. And so he would start the song way up here, and even the best singers in the world could not get to the register that he was getting at. And so the whole congregation just kind of did this, trying to make them feel good, like they're singing along, but they can't sing with them. And from a purely personal point of view, it was some of the worst song leading I had ever seen in my life. But at the same time, it was his best. It was his best. And he was trying to do something to honor God. Every single one of us have something different. And even we might have the same talents. I know there are several public speakers. There are several people that can get up here and preach a sermon. Some of them much better than me. Their best might be better than mine. But we give our best. Because we're doing it for God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 10, he says there, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so as with the ability which God supplies. As if you're going to have your talent and you're going to work for God's kingdom, let him do so as with the ability which God supplies. And then lastly, don't be afraid to use what God has given you. You know, so many times we are so afraid to step out there and try something new. We're so afraid to be part of the body. We're so afraid of what other people might think when I try to glorify God or whatever it is, that sometimes we're just like that servant, servant number three. We just bury our head in the sand. We just say, I'm just going to sit here quietly until the Lord comes back. I want to read you a story of a little illustration here. There was a great pianist that had a sold-out concert. And everyone was flocking from all over to come and hear this man play the piano. And before the show started, everyone's gathering in their seats, and this one woman, she couldn't find a babysitter for her young child, a young boy, and so she decided to bring him along, and she said, you know what, it actually might be good, because he was learning to play the piano. And she said, it might be good for him to hear someone else and to see what it could really sound like, and to see the beauty of it. And so she brought her young son to this show, and very proper, everyone's in there. Their tuxedos and their dresses. They're all waiting for this man to come out on stage. And while this lady's trying to find her seat, she notices that her son has wandered off. And as she starts frantically looking for her son, to her horror, she starts hearing chopsticks being played on the piano up on the stage. He had gotten up on the stage and just started plunking on the piano that was reserved for this great pianist. She starts hearing murmurs from the crowd. Whose child is that? Who would bring a child to a concert like this? Someone get that child off that stage before he embarrasses us. And then, without the child recognizing it, the main event of the concert, the pianist himself, walks up behind. And as the child is still playing chopsticks, he just gently starts playing a nice little melody right behind the child's plunking. One person there said it was one of the most beautiful songs of the night. You know, sometimes our talents and our abilities are going to sound and look like just plunking on the piano to other people. We might get looked at. Other people might think it could be better. But God will always be right there behind us to make even the simplest of talents and abilities sound like a masterpiece. God will always be there for us. And one of the most crippling things in churches today is people who are afraid of what other people will think of them or what will be said about them, and so we dig our talents and we put them in the ground. You know what? I look at where this church has come in the last 3 years. And it's because we have people who are willing to work. I remember one time I had a stern talking to as an intern by a member of the church, and it was everything that was expected of the preacher. The preacher was expected to do this and to do this and to do this, and I was just an intern, and this was just a member of the church telling me what he thought the preacher should do. And I remember the preacher I was working with, he sat me down not long after that talk, and he said, now what did you think about that? I said, I'm obviously not doing what I should be doing. He said, well, hold on a second. He said, you got one man's opinion. He says, but here's what I think. He goes, I think you're a preacher, and I think you should be doing those things. He said, but I also think the man that told you to do those things should also be doing those things. Because he's also a member of the same body as you. He said, and to go even farther with that, he says, there are things I do as a preacher you will never do as a preacher. And he says, there are things you do as a preacher I will never do as a preacher. He says, I can look at this congregation of almost 400 people and I can say that they will be different than you and you will be different than them. He says, just do what God has given you to do. Do your job. There's no right or wrong way to preach as long as we're following God's word. Different preachers have different abilities. And you know what? Same is true with every person here today. You all have different abilities. You know, we all start with different talents and with different levels of talents. But if used to honor and glorify God, we all end up the same place. And what that means is, you look back at Matthew 25, and they were all given different talents. 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. And at the very end of it, they all ended up with different talents. One had 10. One had 4. The other only still had 1. They started with different talents. They started with different levels. To each his own ability. But the ones that used it to honor and glorify their master, they ended up in the same place. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. But it was the one that didn't use it. Therefore, take the talent from him. Give it to him who has 10 talents. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That question. How do we get to heaven? Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. And then tells this story. Which tells me one thing. I better get busy. I'm not saying there's anything I do to earn my spot in heaven. That's not the point of this message today. But the point of this message is, along with what James says in James chapter 2, that faith without works is dead. It's time for us to get to work. It's time for us to use what God has given us. It's time for us to realize that we're a member, an individual member of a greater body through Jesus Christ. And each person, each member of this body has a function. And can you imagine what the kingdom of God would look like if just every part functioned as it was supposed to? It would be an amazing thing. And you're seeing that here. You're seeing the growth, not just numerically, but you're seeing the relationships. You're seeing the people. You're seeing the love. You're seeing the camaraderie. You're seeing the service that is being done in God's kingdom here at Marion Street. Because we have people that are part of the body. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. And you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. If you're here with us this morning and you want to be a member of this body, you want to get to work in the kingdom, you know, it's amazing all the things Jesus teaches. He looked out at the world and he says, you know, the harvest is ready, the laborers are few. He needs workers. He needs people. And he wants you to be a member of his body because he wishes that no man should perish, but all should come to repentance. There's an opportunity right now to come to lay your sins down at the foot of the cross, to be buried in the waters of baptism and rise up a brand new person. Start living the life Christ wants you to live. And you can get to work as a member of this body. But maybe you're here this morning and your life has not gone the way you've wanted it to go. You've given up hope. You've given up on the life you once lived for Christ. Well, come make it right. Come seek forgiveness. Come ask for prayers. Let us know how we can help you. Because heaven is where we all want to be. Now let's make sure we all get there. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.